I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's 3M Open. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. Greg, good to see you, bud.
Good to see you too, Rick. I'm particularly excited about this one. This is one of those Friday nights where, you know, we're going to have a little bit of fun.
Is that because your protege, your student, the man you have been saying is on the verge of winning for 5 or 6 months now, Adam Hadwin, is actually atop the leaderboard?
Who? I didn't see. I haven't really seen much. I didn't know. Who did you say was leading?
Mr. Adam Hadwin, indeed.
Oh, him. Oh, yeah. That might have something to do with it, Rick. Again, Volt, not my student. I've never met him. I have been saying for at least 5 or 6 months. What was the event I really liked him at? It was
probably the American Express, right? Like, wouldn't that have been?
No. It was after. It was more surprising. It was a little bit more random. I'll think it'll hit me. But yes, a couple of months ago, I was all over Adam Hadwin. I said this guy is really close. Well, I didn't say that. I said he's going to win. He didn't. He just missed three cuts in a row. But now he is your 36-hole leader.
Yeah, so he is technically, as we record this, he is on the green of his final hole of the day. Two putts for par would be good enough to keep him at 10 under. So he opened with a 67. He is currently 6 under, as I mentioned, with just a half a hole left to play. And it has been, you know, a bit of a struggle for Adam Hadwin. It's pretty well documented. I mean, he's coming in off of 3 missed cuts. He's got a couple of top 10s this year, but it's not really the version of Hadwin that we thought we were going to get this year. You know, he started 2021 as the 78th ranked player in the world. He's dropped to 117th, but seemingly good enough for 2 rounds to start, you know, finding something and putting it together.
Yeah, and what you see is what he's done on the green, approaching the greens, which to me is it's really important for a guy like Adam Hadwin. He's not a long hitter by any means, so he has to be very precise coming into greens. Hitting fairways is a big deal for him as well. So if he can be accurate in his game, all of a sudden he can turn into, quite a player. He's a guy, he's not afraid to go low. He's a Mr. 59, yeah. And he's not afraid of winning on the PGA Tour. So he has a really, it's pretty well-rounded. It's a pretty well-rounded game, but it has to be because of his distance. So when he has all the pieces clicking, when he's clicking on all cylinders, he really is someone to watch out for.
He's going to need to play really well because they are stacked up behind him. I mean, some guys have a couple of holes to play. Some of these guys are in, but Bo Hoge, Ches Reavy, Johnny Vegas, Roger Sloan, Ryan Armour, Adam Shank, all as I speak right now, one shot back, and there's still plenty more just 2 shots back. So it is not going to be easy. He is going to have to play offense the rest of the way at TPC Twin Cities.
And I'm sure he's well aware of that. That can actually help in a way. There's no need to press. There's no need to accelerate. There's no need to, I'm sorry, what am I saying? No need to press. There's no need to feel like you're protecting anything. You're not protecting a lead here. If you make pars, you're going to get lapped. This afternoon did play a little bit tougher than maybe we expected. So maybe a surprise to see the lead at only at 10 under par. But that being said, you're going to have to make birdies over the weekend in bunches, because I believe there's a 9 or 10 under par round out there. So I think that's out there somewhere. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think somebody could go shoot 61, 62, or 63 out there tomorrow in the morning. And all of a sudden this tournament changes. So if you're Adam Hadwin, you have to stay aggressive. You have to continue to make birdies. There is a lot of trouble out there, so you can't be reckless. You just have to continue to do what you do. But that has a way of easing the nerves a little bit, right, Rick? You feel like, okay, I just have to make birdies. I know I have to go play well. I know I have to go shoot 66 again tomorrow to probably hold on to the lead going into Sunday. So I think that eases a little bit of pressure.
Our friends over at William Hill, as of right now, have assigned a trio of favorites. It's Adam Hadwin, it's Johnny Vegas, it's Adam Schenck, all at 9-1 plus 900. The first real big name that you get on that board is Louis Oosthuizen, who is 16-1. I mentioned to Kyle last night how impressed I was with him coming out and shooting an opening round 68 in an event that he could have just packed it in at. He backs it up with another 68 here on Friday. The only disappointment was he just three putted on 18. He was on the green and two. He three jacks it to make par, but he is going to be probably, let's call it, four shots off the lead as he enters the weekend,
which is right there in the mix. So that's great. It's two really solid rounds. I go back to this thing we talked about earlier in the week. Well, one, I'll say I want to give some credit to Sia, because Sia said, yeah, hey, play Louis this week. I was a little more concerned. I think the reaction to what happened last week proved to go to Sia's side, right? This is when you come out and shoot six under this way and you play two really solid rounds, you put yourself in position. It tells me this isn't an emotional thing. He's not emotionally let down. Maybe he gets tired by Sunday, maybe, but I don't think last week is really affecting him too much. So that's great to see. I'm happy about that. But is he going to be able to make the birdies over the weekend? Where that anti-bogey kind of mentality, I don't know if that works here. So anyway, I'm really happy to see what Louis did. And I'm interested to see where he goes from here, but, this is still anybody's ball game, right, Rick?
Yeah. If you're not watching on YouTube, producer Jacob with an all-time split screen right now, the leaderboard next to the William Hill odds, this is really good. I don't necessarily trust Adam Hadwin, Johnny Vegas, Adam Schenck, Chez Reavie, Ryan Armour, Mav McNeely, Boho. I don't trust any of these guys. I do think that the metrics certainly favor someone like Adam Schenck, who is, as we speak, currently still out on the golf course. He has an opportunity to maybe extend, maybe put a couple more under his belt, but he's lapping the field in strokes gained tee to green. He's losing a half stroke putting. That would be the one guy that I would identify, because if you get it now, even by the time this second round is over, his odds might be shorter. So pays to watch on YouTube live, by the way.
Yeah, it does. I highly recommend it. But Rick, I think that's a really good point, just because of what he has left in front of him. Because the initial thought is, well, you don't trust Johnny Vegas or you probably don't trust Adam Schenck or Adam Hadwin. So you don't trust any of those guys. They have the same odds. Well, you take the shot. You take the shot with Adam Hadwin. That's kind of gives you a little bit of an advantage. And as I've been saying for 5 months, he's going to win at some point this year. So that being said, Hadwin looks like the guy, but with Schenck having the holes remaining, and he's got to say he's through what, 14 holes. So he's still got time to jump up that leaderboard. So, I like your angle there, Rick.
Yeah, he's playing the par five right now. Unfortunately, he is on the front side, which means he's going to have to play 8 and 9, which is a little bit of a test, but certainly keep a close eye on Mr. Schenk moving forward. A couple of bigger names that we have to talk about, and also impending weather. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. Dustin Johnson, the betting favorite, the highest ranked player in the field, has missed the cut. DJ didn't look like himself really all week long. He shot a 70 on Thursday, a 72 on Friday, which was low-lighted by a bogey on 18, Greg, his final hole of the day where he hit his drive into the water. So his final six holes, he played at 3 over and missed the cut.
His last 10 holes, he played at 4 over. So disappointing. It was really disappointing to see. Now the wind started to pick up a little bit. I think it's proof that he just isn't sharp right now. And to see what he did around the green was, I think, pretty bad. Right? He loses a shot and a quarter around the green. He's 4 of 11 scrambling. But a couple of the short shots that I saw him have to hit were from really bad places. And so I thought last week that DJ was really getting somewhere with his ball striking. And I felt like something was really coming around and he was really getting close and he was a hot putter away from a win. Now it's Dustin Johnson, so he still may be, but this didn't make me feel very good about that. I kind of, in a strange way, feel different about that. Cause I look at this round particularly, and he just lost it tee to green. He lost his swing. He lost his shot shape. He wasn't controlling it in the wind. He was overcutting it. He was missing. He's hitting it into fairway bunkers at really awkward yardages. And he's just making mistakes that he doesn't make. He typically doesn't make. And that's a sign to me that he doesn't have his shot shape under control right now.
And the other big name, and one that was atop the leaderboard after 18 holes, is Ricky Fowler. And we knew the hot putting, the 4 strokes he gained on the putting surfaces on Thursday, we knew that that was not going to continue into Friday, but he has lost strokes on approach, lost strokes off the tee, lost strokes around the green, and he's been basically a zero putter on Friday. And that is currently putting him 2 over par. He is playing his final hole of the day. He's playing the par 5, 18th, but he has backed up to now essentially outside the top 20, Greg. So a little bit of correction after that Thursday round.
You know, I'm looking at the Thursday round. It was a hot putter statistically for sure. And he basically made 3 putts outside of 10 feet. Two of them were right around 12. One might have been 13 feet, and he made a 30 footer. So that helps your statistics. But when I was getting ready for today's round, looking into it, what are we going to get out of Ricky? I said, if he doesn't make those 3 putts, he made some 6 footers, some 8 footers as well. He putted very well. But those were the 3 that would be the outliers, the reason why you would call it a hot putter. So what happens right if Ricky misses those? Well, okay, he shoots 4 under instead. If he does that today, he's in great shape. But Ricky Fowler, in the last, which was, it was a great,
I thought Jacob
right
was going to drop you. I know. I thought I couldn't believe.
Yes. I paused after. It's still of all the, that's my favorite drop of all of them. It's just, it cracks me up. And every time I see Ricky now, I get all pumped up.
It has actually broken into, it's no longer just a drop. Like anytime I hear his name or say his name, that's what I think about. So it's not, me it's too. No longer just like a drop.
Right. Oh. That's who he is. It's his identity.
Yeah. But to your point, to your point, he was, even without the putter on Thursday, he was great. He gained strokes in all the other categories. Of course, he had a hot putter, but that's okay. That's going to happen. This was kind of the opposite of that today.
So we had a little conversation, Rick, a couple of weeks ago, where I had this thought. I gave you a call and you showed me how to find individual shot to shot strokes gained to see where are you picking up shots? Where are you losing shots? So I looked into it yesterday and Ricky lost on four shots on the second nine in wedge ranges, 120, 130 yards, somewhere in there. He lost shots. Now, it wasn't dramatic. He's not hitting it into the bunker. He's not shanking it out of bounds, but he's hitting it to 30, 40 feet instead of closer to tour average. So he's losing a little bit on these wedge shots. And then today, he hits a wedge shot into a bunker from close range. He hits a wedge shot short of the green from kind of, it's just not really accepted. He missed, I think, three greens I saw him miss with wedge distances. Not 80-yard shots, but 120, 130-yard shots, and he missed the green. And so I wonder if what happened yesterday was masked by some nice play on par fives and a couple of really well-holed putts, and the approach numbers didn't come from consistency with his short irons. It came from some gains and some longer shots into the greens. And today, the struggle really seemed to be the short iron. So it's definitely something I'm watching for going forward. My hope is that this is his bad round, because in eight of the last 10 tournaments, he's had a round of 75 or higher, 75 or 76. And those have been the rounds that plague him, obviously. So hopefully that was his bad round and he can go and play a nice round tomorrow and get back into contention.
We will see, and we will be back after round three and round four to recap it all. But keep in mind, inclement weather moving in to the Twin Cities, and it's supposed to linger into the morning. So here's what they have done. They are going to do split tees. Let me get this right. Split tees and threesomes from approximately 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Not local time, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern is how they're going to do this. So there will probably, Greg, not be much of a wave discrepancy on Saturday because all the guys are going to be out within 2 hours of each other.
Well, I'll be interested to see how the weather follows, what weather follows a storm like that. If it's going to be, my guess is this is going to lead to scoring central. Mm. Right. It's one thing to play in rain, one thing to play in a storm, but that 61 number I threw out there is in play with rain coming in tonight and some of the guys teeing off after the rain tomorrow. They're going to go low.
And they don't call it moving day for nothing, peeps. So strap in, buckle up. Should be a lot of fun, and we will see you Saturday evening. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.